I'm going to talk about the correlation of insurance and assurance. If we can turn to Romans 12, just get ready. It's also the theme of my talk, I suppose. Romans chapter 12. I had so many jokes running through my head after George was bringing out that story, but I was like, you know what, probably couldn't bring any of them up. Romans chapter 12. All right, so who knows how insurance works? I only figured it out like a couple weeks ago, but still don't really get it. But, you know, maybe talk to me after the meeting if I'm really struggling. So insurance, how I think it works is you kind of make a payment, either monthly or annually, depends on how it works. Still don't know. You make a payment to an insurance company, and in the event, like in car insurance, for example, in the event of an accident, wow, my leg is shaking. In the event of a car accident, all your costs are covered. If you're at fault, I suppose. If you like, you pay for insurance, you got insurance, you know, you're insured correctly. You hit a car, like in a car park, reverse into a Mercedes or something. It's covered, it's fine. There might be a little excess fee, but it's going to be a lot cheaper than the cost of repairing that Mercedes. But if you violate the terms and conditions of the contract with the insurance company, they're not going to cover it. So simple violation, most common, is not making the payment. If you haven't made your payment this month and you crash tomorrow, then they're going to be like, well, we haven't made a payment. And I'm sure there are a lot of people going, oh, I'll make the payment right now. I'll be right on it. I'll make this payment straight away because it's going to be a lot cheaper than the price of fixing this Mercedes. But they're like, it's too late. You haven't made the payment. This is your problem now. And then you got assurance. That's insurance. Assurance is just a confidence or a certainty. So Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think this is a Youngies theme scripture this year or last year or even longer, I don't remember. This is an awesome scripture. This is our service to God. We are now a service to God. This is what our payment is now. What we have now is such a small price. What we have to do, what the Lord has asked us to do in our lives, our job now as Christians, now that we're saved, such a small price of what our payout will be in the future. I like to think when we're baptized, spirit-filled, speaking in tongues, it's like we sign our contract with an insurance policy with God. You can call it eternal life insurance. But like any insurance policy, there's always a payment to be made, isn't there? It doesn't come for free. You can't just sign up for insurance and expect, you know, reverse into Mercedes and you haven't paid anything and they're going to cover it. You have to make a payment. There's a small sacrifice to make to ensure that. Or the insurance doesn't pay up. And our service to God is like little payments to God. All the things that we do to be the body of Christ, to worship Him, praise, prayer, all the things we already know, we're doing really well. We're already saved, but we can continue with those little payments to ensure our assurance. Praying, evangelizing, being a member of the body keeps our insurance validated and keeps us insured for eternal life. Now, here's an insurance that doesn't make sense to me at all. There's heaps of insurance. You've got car insurance, life insurance. That's the only ones I can think of. Healthcare, I suppose. But one that doesn't make sense to me is funeral insurance. I looked into it a little bit. 80% of people who get funeral insurance cancel it. So they obviously figured it out. It's pointless. But I don't get it. Like, you're paying, like, if I was to get funeral insurance, I pay a company so that someone else doesn't have to pay for my funeral. Why wouldn't I just pay them? Like, why wouldn't I just, like, give Rachel some money every week? You know, here's my funeral insurance money. I'm going to give it to someone else just to come back. And if you're 72 years old, I don't know if anyone's near that, but if you're 70, PK's getting close. If you're 72 years old, most insurance is like, I don't know how it works, but, like, they calculate it to your 80. If you're 72 years old and you have to pay funeral insurance to your 80, the monthly payments are like $160. You end up paying $15,000 in 8 years. It's like, could just save that money yourself, but and you cancel it anyway and you don't even get it. So that's just irrelevant to my talk, but but I think the reason it's so expensive, funeral insurance, is because dying is a sure thing. There's no one's escaped death in the past 2,000 years except one guy, and it's Jesus. Like, there's car insurance, you may not crash your car in a while, but you're gonna die. So funeral insurance is where the money's at, I suppose, but people just keep cancelling. Anyway, if we go to relevant, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'll draw a point soon. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Who has funeral insurance? Don't tell me, don't worry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night," similar to what George's scripture was he brought out. "Behold, I come quickly, I come like a thief in the night." We don't know when, we don't know how, we don't know why, but it's just like driving. You don't know when you're going to have a crash. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't prepare for it in the sense of like, You just drive safely, you just drive along. If you have insurance, you don't really think about it, do you? You don't ever worry about it. But if you don't, I've driven a car with insurance. It was on my mind the whole way home. I bought a car, but didn't ring up insurance. I was driving home, I was like, I'll crash it now, if I crash it now, if I crash it now, if I crash it now. It's good. This whole escapade was for nothing, you know? But that's what it's like with people in the world. They don't know when or what's going to happen, but there's always that fear. But we have that assurance. That's where insurance comes into play with insurance. If you have insurance, you have assurance. There's nothing to worry about. If you're serving the Lord and doing the right thing, if you're not violating the terms of the contract we have now, the contract here, there's nothing to worry about. You have an assurance. We turn to our last scripture, Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, that the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Rejoice and pray. He wants to hear from us. I like this scripture from verse 4 to 7 because it's like at least four instructions there. There's rejoice in the Lord, let your moderation be known unto men, be careful for nothing, and let your request be made known unto God. So it's like four requests. But then there's the, the guarantee here. There's the guarantee at the end. "And the peace of God will pass with all understanding." You'll get this peace. If you do these things, if you rejoice and pray, then there's the peace, the assurance. If you're walking in God, doing the right thing, we're all baptized, spirit-filled here, speaking in tongues. We've started that contract with God, haven't we? We've started the insurance. There's no point bailing on it now because that was just a waste of time, wasn't it? Stick with it. Keep paying up your payments the whole time and you'll get the best pay you've ever had in your life. Ensure your insurance is assured. And all the people said, amen.